now that we're here, we should probably start talking in like podcast lingo, Robert. I don't know if you know any.
Let's see. I know Patreon.
Yes. that's the first word of the podcasting.
I think that's a thing. I know. I think that might be it.
Can I tell you my favorite one?
What network are we on?
Shit. We should have thought about that before we started recording.
Yeah.
We're on. We're not on Earwolf. We're not on Maximum Fun. We're not on Forever Dog. I don't know if there's any other podcasts besides that. Starburns, is he still doing a podcast network?
Like, I think they might. I think they might have one in England.
Oh, there's a podcast network in England, of course.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not on that one either. But I think that my favorite podcasting phrase is and tell me what you think of it, because I think it sounds disgusting. You know what you and I are doing right now. Some people refer to as casting pod.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I don't like. I think this is what you get when you name an entire genre of entertainment after a device.
Yeah,
it's like imagine if rock music instead of rock music was called I don't know, record player songs. Yeah. And then CDs came out and everybody was all, well, I'm going to listen to these record player songs. I'm on this thing. It's just silly.
Yeah. Vinyl waveforms. And,
but I don't like, how do we feel? Are we allowed to refer to this simply as a pod?
A pod? Like a pod of dolphins?
I don't know. I've heard podcasts referred to as pod.
Yeah, I just did casting pod.
And I've also heard them referred to as casts.
I've never heard them referred to as casts. I don't like that.
I don't like either of them.
No, I don't like.
I don't like podcast. I don't like either of those.
But what do you call it? Like, you've got a radio background, so what would you call this? Like, I was really confused when you asked me what format this show was.
An internet talk radio program. we're like the Joe Rogan of the internet.
Right. Joe Rogan is not on the internet, so we have taken his space. Actually, is he on the internet? Like Spotify, that's his exclusive home now.
I don't know. I just know that Joe Rogan is a thing that that people make fun of, and sometimes Ray Capo from Youth of Today goes on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That is the extent of my knowledge about Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I know he was on News Radio and Fear Factor. That's it.
Oh, that's right. I remember he there's that clip on YouTube of him choking that guy out on Fear Factor.
Oh, I didn't see that because that show was terrible and disgusting.
I didn't see it either, but I did. I mean, if you see a YouTube thumbnail that says Joe Rogan triangle chokes a dude on Fear Factor, I don't
know. That's amazing. Who doesn't love a good celebrity chokes out somebody else video?
I think that we should we should purchase a television station.
Yes.
And comb through their archives and find every clip we can of a celebrity choking someone.
So like Hogan and then Belzer.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Choking out that Fear Factor guy. Have there been any other public celebrity chokings?
No, I like, you know, the ones that I can think of, they're not celebrities, they're pro wrestlers, and they mostly involve like punching and whatnot. Like,
yeah, that doesn't count because a lot of times that's consensual choking.
Hulk Hogan, like the Hulk Hogan one counts because he went too far with Belzer. He just straight up, like, you know, put
did
him
he
to sleep.
Choke him out though, or was that a sleeper hold?
What's the difference?
I mean, a sleeper hold puts pressure on the carotid artery that stops the blood flow to the brain. Okay. That's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I've never thought about whether or not, like, what's a rear naked
choke? A sleeper hold is not a choke hold. because it's allowed in professional wrestling.
It can become one, though, if the elbow slips underneath the chin.
That's why the referees... Welcome to our wrestling podcast. We are the first people ever to talk about wrestling on the internet.
Yeah, no, this is true. Nobody in history has. I don't know any other... Yeah, I don't know any other podcasting terms either, to bring it back to what I was saying earlier. All I know is casting pod, and that's just disgusting, which is why I'm saying it over and over and over again. It should be abolished. We gotta sit down and talk.
I'm really only concerned about the metrics. I need to know what our target demo is. I need to know what our numbers look like in that target demo. And then, you know, auxiliary demos, the people who might be listening along with. But, I mean, it's really about the target demo. That's all I care about.
I mean, I know that it's a little bit beyond your age, and it will be beyond my age sooner rather than later. But we're targeting, I think... with the Sonic Youth of Hot Dog Restaurants, which, hello, that is the name of our show. Like, what we're doing here is we're targeting the very lucrative 18 to 35 male demo. That's why we talked about professional wrestling. That's why we talked about Joe Rogan. That's why we talked about podcasting. Three things that play very, very well in the chud market. So that's what we're targeting. And within that space... you know, what we're hoping to do is attract a lucrative, upper class clientele of, people who want to advertise their fine products on our shows. Does that answer your question?
Right. It doesn't, but I like what you did there.
Yeah.
You brought it around and I think I, you know, we're less than 8 minutes into the show now. And if this is not number one on iTunes, by now,
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
I think they should just go ahead and hold that spot for us.
Yeah, yeah. They've been waiting for a long time for a show like ours to come along and claim the top spot. You know, like,
I don't want to speak too soon or out of turn, but truly, we are revolutionizing the art form.
Yeah,
I think that there are elements that we bring to the table, as it were, that are so, frankly, unheard of.
Right.
I don't want to reuse the word revolutionary, but I think it's appropriate in this case.
I think so.
The only thing that's holding us back, and this sort of dovetails with my celebrity choking, I guess it would be a compilation of some sort. I guess it would be a TikTok series that you'd have to pay to access. I don't know if that's possible.
OnlyFans.
It would be an OnlyFans of just celebrities choking and being choked. I'm fine either way. But in order to get that footage, we need funding, obviously. And so the way to do that, short of the Patreon route, which we'll get there, is a lucrative sponsorship deal.
In order to... procure one of these, I suppose what we need to do is kind of introduce ourselves. You alluded to the fact that we have, a sort of uniqueness about us that should, pocket us some of that sick, sick podcast money. But frankly, like, I think that each of us should say what those are. So if you want to start, like, who are you and what are you bringing to the table here?
What I'm bringing to the table, hello, my name is Robert, and what I'm bringing to the table is the overlooked and nearly absent perspective of the straight white male aged 18 to 49. I think that is something that the internet could benefit from. And I'm glad that people like me finally have a voice.
Congratulations. My name is Colette. And what I bring to the table, I can sum up in just a few words, which is this. I'm a transsexual. And if you want to back the Brinks truck up to my house, I'll be home all day tomorrow. This podcast we've chosen a very, I think, marketable name. So, you know, if Blue Chew is listening, or if HelloFresh are listening, you know, there's no better time than episode one to hook yourselves up to the Sonic Youth of Hot Dog Podcasts. The Sonic Youth of Hot Dog Restaurants, right? which really says it all. There's the Sonic Youth element of it, a band which everyone loves.
Right. Really in the zeitgeist. A lot of people down at the drugstore talking about Sonic Youth these days.
Getting really into Evol at Rexall Drugs.
Then there's the hot dog restaurant aspect. I mean, who doesn't?
Which is my favorite aspect.
Who doesn't love a good hot dog restaurant? So we are the Sonic Youth of hot dog restaurants, and that's important for you to remember when you're making out those checks. Now, I guess we need to develop, and probably should have talked about this before we started recording, a cryptocurrency policy. If we're going to be paid in any sort of alternative currencies, I mean, I don't know how that shit works. So
what happens is that you're given a lot of it, hopefully, into what is known as a wallet, which is essentially a chain of code, I guess.
So it's a chain wallet.
A chain wallet, yeah, exactly. You can get them at Hot Topic, or you can get them by investing in Ethereum. And what happens when you have one of those wallets is that eventually someone steals it, and all of your Bitcoin is gone.
Cool. But I still get a free mattress.
You still get a free mattress out of the deal. And you know, like, frankly, like, we accept it. Like, you know, I know that there's concerns about alternative currencies, Bitcoin, crypto, whatever you want to call it, hastening the end of the world through ecological disaster. But we don't care, because we're only in this for the money. So if that's the way that, you know, Casper or Manscaped or any of these other companies want to give us money, like, I'll deposit it the day, or I'll withdraw it the day that it comes in. Like, I'll play it safe. And if they want to pretend that green Bitcoin is a thing, I'll pretend right along with them.
Right. I mean, so if
I accept it.
If it can go into my bank in some way.
Yeah.
Then I'm fine with it.
All forms of currency.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate. All we see is green.
Right, exactly. I mean, who cares about anything else? Do you think you would be good at being rich?
No, I'd be terrible.
Really?
I'd be the worst. Yeah, I mean, I spend money like crazy sometimes because I have a brain disorder. Rich people are notoriously good at hanging on to their money. So maybe if there was like a certain level of rich that I would hit, like, I'd be fine because I'd be able to, you know, keep it essentially. Like, it would be immune to my spending habits. But, no, I think that I would be a bad rich person. Also, I would probably just pay off all of my debt and then give the rest of the money away. So I'd be terrible at this. What about you?
I think I would be a very good rich person, because I've thought about it a lot, because I've never been one. And I think one of the things that people who are far from rich do a lot of is thinking about what they would do if they were rich. And most of it involves fixing my teeth, buying my mom a house, you know, just dumb stuff like that. But also, I would probably hire an American Gladiator. I would remodel my house. I'd keep my house sort of the way it is and remodel the front of it to have three front doors, and then hire an American Gladiator to hide behind one of the doors at all times. So, and this is the only extravagance. Everything else would be the same, same house, same clothes, same car, but an American Gladiator behind one of three identical front doors, so that when I came in,
essentially a bodyguard.
Well, it not really even a bodyguard situation, just sort of a thrill for me when I return home to know that Nitro or Laser is waiting for me, and I have a 33% chance of just getting blasted off of the front porch into the yard.
So you'd want them to attack you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I choose the wrong door, yeah.
Right.
I mean, one of the doors probably has just an obstacle a hurdle, a sheet of paper that I burst through, something like that. And then one of the doors obviously leads me into the house. And then the third door, laser, nitro, zap. You know, one of the gladiators is waiting for me.
One of the lady ones, though. Just all the dudes.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I think Zap might have been one of the lady ones, as you say. It doesn't matter as long as there's a gladiator. So I think that's why I need the mattress money. So the two goals for the mattress money are celebrity chokeout compilation and the American Gladiator front door situation. And I mean, fixing my teeth, buying my mom a house, making sure my friends are financially, you know, because obviously we're raking in millions here. Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be enough to take care of not just myself, but my friends and an American Gladiator.
And the thing that Casper Mattresses should know is that none of our friends or potential listeners currently own a mattress. So, you know, there's a lucrative market of mattressless people who are listening to this podcast right now. Casper Mattresses is actually the sponsor that you are most interested in. Why is that? Like, why do you want Casper to sponsor us?
Because mattresses are ridiculously expensive. And I know that that's one of the things that, you know, people are like, well, you spend a third of your life on your, okay, that's great. But it shouldn't cost like four digits. Those like decent mattresses are sometimes they run into the thousands of dollars. When I was in college, my dad came to visit me and he was appalled to find out that I was sleeping in a rat's nest. I would just throw all of my clothes into a corner of the room and curl up in there like a rat. And he was appalled to find out that I did not have a bed and immediately took me out to purchase a mattress for me. And so I think that established the history for me of not taking the initiative on mattress acquisition and just, you know, it set a bad precedent. Because all I had to do was be incredibly uncomfortable for the better part of a year and somebody got a mattress for me out of pity, sympathy, whatever. It doesn't matter why I got it. I got it. And yeah. So that set in motion a lifelong process of relying on others for my mattress needs. And so it's just, I'm just mattress greedy, I guess, is the only way to really describe it.
It's not even, it doesn't sound like greed. It sounds like altruism. Like your mission is to get people into a new mattress, which is heartwarming. And I've had the same issue. Like when I moved into an apartment after having lived in a furnished one for a little bit, you know, like I was sleeping like, you know, in something better than a rat's nest. I was sleeping on an air mattress that my sister bought me. And my mom was like, I can't believe that you're sleeping on an air mattress. Like that's completely ridiculous. Like, why did you move into this new apartment if you don't have something new to sleep on? And then like 10 days later, like this box that had a mattress showed up in it. And, when I opened it and like cut the plastic around it, like the first thing that it did was nearly break my nose because it just went boing and like whapped me in the face. So there's a little bit of danger to these mail order mattresses. A little bit of excitement, the same way as there's some excitement in you choosing which of the three doors of your newly remodeled house to enter. Is this the only, is the three door thing, is that the only way that you would remodel your house?
I would probably station a gladiator on top of the roof with a tennis ball gun, just in case I decided one day, like, I don't feel like dealing with the door situation. Maybe I'll just go around to the back door. And that's when, you know, whoever's on the roof would just start pelting me with the tennis balls. I think another thing that I'm missing, honestly, is I've never really had that tactile mattress experience. And I need the tactile mattress experience. I've never opened a box and had a giant mattress unfold out of it. And just hearing you describe it filled me with a kind of longing for that that experience. And I hope one day to be able to have it for free.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like a snake in a can, kind of, where you're like, this is an experience where I am totally expecting Pringles or like nuts or whatever. And instead you got a bunch of like snakes in your face.
So you thought the mattress box was full of Pringles.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that it was just full of Pringles. Like, you know,
so you thought that you thought that your mother had sent you a giant case of Pringles.
Well, you know what they say, once you pop, the fun don't stop. So, you know, why not send your daughter some fun, when she's like fresh to her new apartment? But no, it was a mattress. So it was a huge disappointment. You know, I have that mattress still like right now, and it's pretty comfortable.
Right. And if it had been Pringles,
I would have eaten every single one of them.
Yeah. You wouldn't still have the Pringles. And so no. I think your mother made the better of the two decisions.
Yeah. A wise investment. My mom is a wise investor here. When it comes
how
to
much do you think a mattress box filled with Pringles would cost?
I think it would probably, like, you know how at Easter or whatever they make like the 20-pound Snickers, and it costs, well, no, you wouldn't, but it costs like, or maybe you would, I don't know, I shouldn't assume what you know about candy, but like it's expensive, it's like $20 for 1 pound of Snickers, and if you put that on a scale to whatever 400 Pringles weighs and shipping it so that those Pringles don't break, I think you're talking about like a $500 box of, or a $500 box of Pringles.
Cause the standard Pringles tube.
Yeah.
You're looking at around between $1.50 to $2, depending on which market you're in. So I'm trying to think, I mean, the size of the box.
These aren't coming in a tube. They're just straight up in the box.
So they're loose Pringles.
Loose Pringles.
Okay. All right. So are they at least stacked still in the, like, nestled Pringles?
Oh, they would have to be. That's how.
Or
you
are they? Did somebody literally just dump them in there from a height?
I think, like, that if you dump them, they would be broken and customers would be mad. So I'm going nestled over dumped.
So, but why? I don't understand why they wouldn't still be tubed, because effectively you're shipping mulch now.
They're, well, they're already in a vessel of some kind. Why gild the lily by putting them in more than one kind of cardboard, like, transport mechanism?
So you're saying the Pringles factory
yep,
loads them into this box, which I'm assuming is probably 4 feet high by maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet deep.
Yep.
That's kind of what I'm picturing. So you've got a 3x3x4 rectangular prism filled with Pringles.
Yeah.
We're going to need one of the more math inclined of our many listeners to sort of do the engineering here, because I don't know the surface area of a Pringle, but we need to know how many Pringles that is.
Yeah. I'm saying that they want to give you maximum Pringle. So mm-hmm. You have to get rid of the tube. Secondly, you can't pop more than once. Like, you can't pop the container more than once, because, like, you know, while it says the fun don't stop, like, there are limitations. They want you to get more Pringle, but if they give you like 100 Pringles and tubes, you're not going to need any for a while. If they give you one box with no tubes, you're going to get through that thing in a couple days. Like, they know what they're doing. This is like an addiction thing. Like, it's like a mouse hitting the lever and getting like the happy juice or whatever, only it's Pringles. So it's a calculated strategy to get you to eat as much as possible, within as little time as possible, so that you go back out and get another tube the next day.
I think we've said the word Pringles enough times that we could potentially petition them for a sponsorship deal as well.
This is true. We're not currently sponsored by Pringles, but if their mascot Julius Pringle wants to give us a holler, we're around. We're here.
I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm available.
I'm less
to take,
available.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Pringles. I think Pringles,
well, I mean, but you make yourself available for Pringles.
That's true. Yeah. Who wouldn't make themselves available for for that lovely.
I mean, I know you're a hard woman to get in touch with, but when Pringles comes a calling,
yeah, then
you're going to drop a couple of social obligations.
Yes, I will 100% drop everything that I'm doing and answer the phone, so long as they've got their checkbook out.
So you think it would be in the form of a check?
Do you think that their checks are just Pringles with all of the check accoutrement on it?
I'm kind of wondering what their checks look like. I mean, it's a major corporation, so they're not fun. They're probably just a subdued sort of business blue. But I want the Pringles logo.
Yeah.
I want the guy on there.
The guy. You know his name is Julius, right? Like, I'm not making that up. It's Julius Pringle.
I had no doubt when I heard you say that you knew that.
He's very confident.
Yeah, I mean, you slid into Julius with such a head of steam that there was no. I was just thinking, there's no way she doesn't know, and in a strange way, I was also kind of thinking, well, she wants me to ask about Julius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is all I know. The only other thing that I really know about Pringles is that the guy who invented the can had his ashes and turd in one. It was his biggest achievement in life, and he wanted to be buried within one.
I mean, I guess it's good that he didn't live long enough to hear about this box option.
he'd be devastated because all of these Pringles are showing really up would. Completely destroyed.
He would have just, I could have been in a box this whole time. but no, instead
which is one step from casket.
Right. But I mean, you want to lessen your environmental impact at least right. somewhat, but you don't want to yes. go full Pringles can.
No.
So you go mattress box.
Like, you know how they made the Frisbee inventors ashes and the Frisbees?
Yeah, and I think this is good end of life planning for people, honestly. I mean, because a lot of people have weird ideas about death and what happens to your physical form after you're dead, and people, you know, some people have beliefs or ideas that preclude them from entertaining cremation as an option. So if we present to them, well, you could crouch down into a sort of a fetal position and get shoved into a mattress box. Because I think that would be much less expensive than a casket.
Yeah.
Because those things, you want to talk about mattresses being expensive, the casket industry, that's actually, I think we need to shift focus and we need to get in touch with a casket manufacturer, because the casket people are sitting on the money. That's where the money is. The money's in caskets.
It is. And I know a guy who knows a guy. So, and by guy, I mean my sister.
Yeah, we got to get that casket money.
Yeah, but my real question was, like, if the Frisbee guy got his ashes pressed into Frisbee, could the Pringles guy get his ashes pressed into Pringle and then, like, stacked into the can before he's put to the ground?
That's a really good question. Can you... I guess there's got to be some sort of medium that you could mix with cremains to make it into a sort of a clay-like substance that you can mold.
Yeah. I would imagine this
has to have been done before, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that they can do now. Like, they can preserve people's tattoos, which is, like, honestly kind of grotesque sounding, but completely normal. Like, they can do all kinds of stuff. So I have no doubt that they can make a clay out of one's like cremains, so that you can go ahead and do the scene from Ghost, but with your loved one's remains.
Do you think that a person's ghost would enjoy or be repulsed by the idea of doing pottery with their living relative or partner when the medium of that pottery is their own cremated body?
That probably varies from person to person. I would be okay with it. Like, what do I care?
Yeah, that's something to explore. Because I think, honestly, I have no problem with the idea of a corpse being turned into Pringles. But what I think I want to avoid with this show and in general is pissing off the ghost community.
Well, that was going to be, I was going to ask if Casper mattresses were made out of ghosts, and if so, should we take their money?
Yes, we absolutely should take a ghost's money.
Okay.
Ghost money is fine. They can't use it.
True. It's transparent. It just goes straight through the cash register when the teller or when the cashier tries to put it in.
Yeah, so I think, we just don't want to piss off a ghost. And so that's a new goal that we should add to the list here of not enraging ghosts. So have they called with the check yet?
No, I've been refreshing my text messages and my phones, my multiple phones, my many phones, to see whether or not Casper has given us a call yet. But I don't know if this talk of cremains has offended them or put them off or whatever, or the knowledge that I myself do not have a Casper mattress. Like I am currently not brand loyal, and sometimes that's the best way to get free stuff, is to already have the thing that's being offered for free. So no, nothing from Casper mattresses yet. Like you should, sweeten this pitch. Like, what are we going to do for them on this podcast? Like, can you give me like an ad read? Like, what would you say about them if they hired us to advertise?
I don't think it matters. I was in a shoe store one time, and, there was a famous person in that shoe store with me. And when I say famous person, I mean, this was an actual famous human being. There was no doubt who this person was. They were famous. And this person was looking at a pair of shoes in the shoe store with a friend. And the friend said to the famous person, "Hey, why don't you get a pair of these? These look nice." And the famous person looked at those shoes and said, "Oh yeah, Van sent me 5 pairs of those. I just never got around to wearing them." And so I don't think that really stuck with me, because this person was not a spokesperson for that brand. They were just given things because of their fame. And so it doesn't really matter what kind of spin or push we can put on an ad read. We've just got to really focus on getting as famous as possible. Like, okay, magazine cover famous.
Right.
And if we can do that, then I think it's not a matter of, I think we're going to be in control of the transaction at that point. And so Casper will be coming to us saying, what do we have to do to allow for you to allow us to give you this mattress?
Right. They're going to be like, what do we have to do to get in bed with you?
Quite literally. And so I think that any effort on our part to hone our skills or to focus on a subservient aspect of the sponsor corporation relationship is actually doing ourselves a disservice. What we need to do is head down, eyes front, focus on becoming the most famous people, at least in town.
Right.
And then once we get there, then it won't matter, because the brands will be beating a path to our door, because just being seen in a particular brand of shirt or sleeping on a particular brand of bed, that would be enough to justify them having given us this stuff for free. Just like this famous person that I'm talking about, Van sent them a bunch of shoes in the hopes that famous person would be pictured in a magazine or on television wearing their shoes, even though they're not a spokesperson. That would have done, that would have given some sort of cultural relevance, some sort of cultural currency to the brand. So we can't really be concerned with thinking about what we can do for these brands, we have to reverse that and get to the point where these brands need to be thinking about what they can do for us to get in on the ground floor of what's sure to be an explosive rise to the heights of popularity.
All right. Well, I like how you specified it to being like the most famous people in town. Should we say where we live, or should we keep that a secret?
I think there are positive aspects to both.
Yeah. Well, there's enough people who know where I live, at least. Like a fair amount.
And I live in this same town.
Okay. So what we have
to do... It's a college town in Northeast Georgia.
This is true. Yeah. I would not know the direction part.
It's Athens.
I don't know maps, but it's Athens, Georgia.
I don't know why that's got to be a secret, but it was fun to keep it a secret for a second.
Yeah, well, it's the best kept secret in Georgia, I'm sure, according to 1,500 think pieces that came out about this town before I was born.
Right, and of course, now that we know where you and I live, I think it's not going to be a huge leap for people to figure out who I was in the shoe store with.
I was going to guess Fred Schneider.
I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong. but I don't want to blow up anybody's... I don't want to ruin anybody's free shoe deal. Because again, this podcast is going to be listened to. It's probably not the greatest podcast anybody's ever heard, and I acknowledge that. But one day, this is the Amazing Fantasy 15 of the Sonic Youth of Hot Dog Restaurants. People are going to be like, "Yeah, I mean, it, you know, rough around the edges. It wasn't clearly defined." But we have to value this episode as the cultural touchstone that it is. And so, if people come back to this and it somehow messes up this famous person's free shoe deal, I would feel terrible. I don't want to do that.
That's all they have is the free shoes. That's what.
Right. Exactly. There's nothing else going on in this person's life other than Vans sending them a couple of pallets, I assume, of shoes.
So who do we have to destroy in order to get this free mattress to become the most famous people in town?
Who's famous in town right now?
I don't know. That's the problem. Like, there used to be famous people in town, and they still come to visit. So, like, if they came to visit, would we have to, like, you know, challenge the B-52s to a street rumble?
I don't think I could beat any member of the B-52s in a fight.
I think I could.
I don't think I could.
I think I could. Who?
I don't think they fight fair. And I think they're wily in a way that would come at me in a way that would just surprise me, completely taken off guard.
They've got that thrift store energy.
Yeah, I mean they came up fighting for the best polyester butterfly collar shirts at the Potter's House. They're not gonna. It's over before I blink.
Yeah.
Fred Schneider's going to karate chop me in the throat.
Oh, I would assume he'd pull out a switchblade.
Yeah, and I'll be doubled over, you know, in the parking lot of the Waffle House, which I assume is where this is going to go down. And you know, while I'm doubled over gasping for breath, Cindy Wilson's going to come, shove me into a dumpster, punch me in the face. It's done. I cannot beat the B-52s in a fight.
Okay, what about REM? Can you beat them in a fight?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, there's two different, like, what if we went with a 3-member version instead of the 4-member version?
So Peter Buck's out.
Oh,
no, Bill Barry's out. Peter Buck's still in. Bill Barry's the one that worries me.
Okay.
Because he's a farmer.
Worries me. He's a tall boy.
Who? No, wait. Who did you say?
Peter Buck. He's very tall.
Yeah, Peter Buck. I can't beat Peter Buck in a fight.
He has like Barry Windham's hair, not to be specifically about wrestling, but
I can't beat Peter Buck in a fight.
Okay.
I probably can't beat Mike Mills in a fight.
Neutral Milk Hotel?
Oh, no, no. There's not a single member of Neutral Milk Hotel that I could beat in a fight.
Okay. So we're screwed if any of these people come, but like right now, like I feel like,
yeah, I think so. Like, I think the key to our success is the fact that when all of these people get that fame, they leave town.
Right. Whereas we've remained.
Right. We stay. And so by attrition, I think the way we ascend to the top is by being patient. And so we slowly grow to sort of a manageable size here in town. And then suddenly everybody who's more famous than us, they've left. And the next thing you know, we're number one in town.
Right. So we'll be seeing Casper in 10 to 20 years.
I think that's about right. because I think we've got to grow a base, mm-hmm. and recruit basically an army. And that's the key, because if the famous people who leave town come back looking for a fight, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's say Kate Pearson hears this, loads up her shotgun, comes back into town. We need to be big enough in town that we have acolytes that will stand between Pearson's bullets and us.
Can we call our acolytes the Sonic Youth?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody's using that name.
No, not right now. It's been abandoned.
Yeah. And so now I'm terrified of Kate Pearson coming for me.
Yeah, you've really talked yourself into fear.
I've really developed an unhealthy fear of every single member of the B-52s. they're coming for me in my dreams tonight, I think. They're going to, yeah. Oh my God, what if Fred Schneider was a Freddy Krueger and he could come for you in your dreams?
Yeah.
We didn't even really touch on the supernatural powers
of the B-52s. That no, not at
any
all.
Or all members of the B-52s may be having.
If Fred Schneider were Freddy Krueger, like, he'd be like, 1, 2. Like, it'd be so terrible. Like, I'd be horrified. What would he even, like, I can't even imagine what his weapon would be.
Evil never sleeps.
like, he'd just run you over in the world's most hideous 1950s automobile.
Do you remember the one Nightmare on Elm Street where Freddy turned that kid into a motorcycle?
No.
I think it was part 5, The Dream Child. Freddy Krueger turned a kid into a motorcycle. Real body horror, you know, Tetsuo Iron Man stuff. And so the kid turned into a motorcycle and there was blood and goo everywhere. And so I think with Freddy Schneider.
Chrysler.
What's that?
He turned you into a Chrysler as big as a whale, right?
As big as a whale, exactly. Yeah. And so your hands would curl up and around and turn to the wheels and you would expand out. 20
people would climb inside of you.
Yeah, like, that's the most disgusting. Like, think about how horrific that would be if Fred Schneider was a Freddy Krueger and he came at you in your dreams and turned you into a Chrysler as big as a whale.
Yeah. Yeah. And then drove you down the Atlanta Highway, which is one of the worst highways in Georgia.
God, imagine. I mean, I guess there was okay stuff on that highway. Like, it wasn't as much of a nightmare, to bring it back to the dreams, as it is today, but it still couldn't have been good. I mean, when they wrote that song, the mall was out there.
Really?
Where were they going? To the mall?
Probably. Or they were going to Atlanta, one or the other. So neither.
That's true, because yeah, before 316 opened, you could only get to Atlanta going down 78. So that's a local reference for our local fans.
Yeah, no, being turned into a car by Fred Schneider is that will haunt me. That will come up in my dreams tonight. I might be.
Yeah, I'm going to be haunted by Freddy Schneider. Like, okay, so is he Fred Schneider wearing Freddy Krueger's clothes, or is he a full Freddy Krueger, but he just has Fred Schneider's head instead of Freddy Krueger's head?
I think that he is Fred Schneider wearing Freddy Krueger's clothes that he found at a thrift store. And that's how it happens. Like, Freddy.
So he has the hat.
Imbued with power. He has the hat.
Does he have the glove?
That's a good question. That's why I was asking what his weapon would be. Like, you know, I can't even imagine.
Does he have a mustache?
Yes, he's 1970s yeah. Fred Schneider.
Mustache Fred Schneider is the best Fred Schneider. I'm 100%. Glad we can at least agree on that.
100%. horrifying. And you'll have this dream while you're sleeping on your new Casper mattress.
Honestly, I think what we just went through is the best commercial
possible.
Yeah.
Possible. Like, just imagine, if you will, a scenario.
Now, and if to the executives from Casper who are undoubtedly listening to this, I don't want you going after Fred Schneider for this. All right, we're the team on this one. We can negotiate with Mr. Schneider and his people, but I don't want you to take this idea to Fred, because I don't my biggest fear, aside from Freddie Schneider coming at me in my dreams, is to be watching television and to see an ad where Fred Schneider is trying to sell you Casper mattresses as sort of a preventative measure of him coming after you in your dreams. That's our idea. It's on a podcast. That means it's trademarked. We're going to mail a copy of this to ourselves. Yeah. So legally, you can't use this idea.
Yeah. We're going to put this.
We're very litigious.
And it's going to go priority mail so that we get it the next day.
Right. Or 3 days from now.
3 days from now.
That's how the mail's working these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Topical. Did you hear that? That's the kind of trenchant political insights that we're going to be bringing.
Yes. A lot of complaints about the mail coming your way on the show. Both of us ship a lot. So, my pitch, the company that I want to sponsor us, is a little company known as Manscaped. Have you heard of Manscaped, Robert?
I have, because I do listen to other podcasts.
Okay. So, you, listener, dear listener, are unaware of what Manscaped is. Essentially, it is a testicle grooming service, like, that sells electric and
regular. It's not a service. They don't send
selling stuff is a service in this
country.
They don't
send someone over to your home.
They could. They probably will. You know, they have a wide array of electric razors and regular razors through which you can groom the most sensitive parts of your body. Manscaped does, and all of them are, like, you know, they have, like, really corny names, like the name of the shaving gel is, like, you know, crop eliminator or whatever, which I really love the word crop these days. Like, what a good word, crop. And they've got that. They've got Crop Eliminator. They've got Crop Reviver, which is like an exfoliator. And then they have like these razors, and they're, you know, really, I want them because I would like a free supply of these at all times. A and B, they will sponsor anything, like any old podcast they'll sponsor. And I don't know how it works. Like, I don't know how the sponsorship works, but, you know, like, I would be willing to do, you know, an ad read where, you know, just be like, as a transgender woman, it's so hard maintaining down there, like, that sort of thing. Because they're missing this market currently, like, just completely missing it. And Robert, you can lie about whether or not you would use this product, like, just to kind of get them on our side, Manscaped. But you know, usually when they advertise on podcasts, they offer 20% off, and I'm assuming that 20% goes directly into our pockets, so that they lose 40% actually.
I think that any product like that is kind of that's a brilliant move on our part, because we can, through modesty, refuse to offer the company any actual proof of whether or not we are using their product.
Yeah. Just, you know, what are you going to do? Like, check, like, the razor patterns on various parts of our body to see whether or not we're using it? Like, forensic science?
Yeah, just trust me. It's real good. It's working out great.
It's so good. I use this. What's the phrase that everyone uses? They're like, I use this product every day. Like, That's the tone of voice that you have to adopt when you're talking about, like, Dollar Shave Club or
I just like that you got sultry. on that read.
Let me tell you something about razors. Like that's what I want, is like the opportunity to sound real sexy about something that's like real pedestrian.
Now imagine Freddie Schneider saying, "Let me tell you something about razors."
Please do it.
Let me tell ya. I gotta get a better Fred Schneider.
Yeah, me too. I had one for a while and then I lost it, which is unfortunate. It's a real killer in Athens, Georgia, let me tell you.
It's hard to do. You think it wouldn't be. Like, you listen to Rock Lobster and you're like, oh, you just yell real loud, but it's not.
No,
it's that what he does. What he does is a skill.
You have to push your voice like way up into your nasal cavity, which, unless you have a nasal voice, is not like a natural thing to do. It hurts. Like, it hurts real bad, like, the more you do it. So you can really only yell, like, "There goes a narwhal," before that's the end of your night. I don't have anything really fancy or, like, really funny to say about it, except that, like, I kind of hate the fact that I really do use a product called Manscaped. But, like, I would be speaking from actual experience here, and I think that that makes for the best ads. And, like, unlike with Casper, like, I think that this is a good entry-level podcast advertising partner, is, like, this and then, like, just letting one of those ads from, like, Progressive autoplay and, like, skipping 30 seconds forward so that you don't hear anything about boat insurance.
Right, read by a robot.
Or, like, read by, like, one of the actors that have been held hostage by Progressive for, like, 10 years who are never getting out of that studio. Which, oh my god, I have taken to like paying for ad-free versions of stuff just to avoid these people. They've won. The war is over. Like, I can't stand, like, you know, here's who I wouldn't work with on our podcast to become rich and famous. I don't want Limu Emu on my show. I don't want Flo from Progressive on my show. And I think that's mostly, I don't want the Geico Gecko either. Like, I don't want Shaq or the General. Actually, I take that back. I would have the General on the show, no Shaq. Because I don't, like.
I just want to be clear that I would guest host with any of those people.
Okay, so if I take any a vacation, of those people, you know, you're going to.
Then I'm getting Stephanie Courtney, a.k.a. Flo from Progressive. Oh, then you're the dog's barking. I'm getting her on the show.
A great low rate and save some time because you're going to get it done on your podcast with the General.
I have a lot of questions for Shaq, actually. I welcome his eventual guest spot. I would
have him on the show in a capacity that's not like America's pitch man. I don't know how that happened.
No, here's what I want to talk to Shaq about. He has in his home, or had, a life-size statue of the Predator.
Really?
And so what I need to know is everything about that statue. I need to know, did he commission it or did it already exist? How did he, if he had to commission it, how did he find exactly what pose? And I do apologize. Someone's walking their dog past the studio here and my dog is going nuts. How did he find the artist who made that Predator statue? I need to know a lot about Shaq's Predator statue.
So that, I mean, someone like Shaq doesn't have just one statue. Like, the Predator is not the only statue that man has. Like, what else, what other statues do you think he has?
Well, I know he has a...
Superman, probably.
He's got a Superman, definitely. But he's got... If he's got a Predator, he probably has to have an alien, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
We need to know a lot about the inside of Shaq's house, because I think that same pictorial sort of tour of the home that I'm remembering, I think that's where I learned that Shaq has a round bed, which, again, we're circling right back to it's the mattress shape. Aspect of this program.
Yeah. Does Casper make a round mattress?
Who makes the sheets for it? Does Shaq or Casper have to have those sheets custom made?
I think that they're custom made.
I mean, because when you're the size of Shaq,
everything's custom
made. I would assume a lot of stuff has to be custom made for you.
My thing is, so to have Shaq on the show, there would need to be the precondition that he inventories everything in his house so that we can just relentlessly quiz him on the contents of his massive house. Like, Shaq, if you have a storage unit, I need the contents of the storage unit so that I can ask you questions about, like, why do you still have 30 Orlando Magic jerseys in your storage unit? Like, I need to know this stuff.
Do you think he ever dresses the Predator statue up for, like, holidays? Does it have a Santa beard?
Yeah.
And a Shaq, I mean, it's jersey. it's kind of already in place for Halloween. I mean, it's spooky, so, well, you know, maybe he has you a got Crypt
Keeper statue.
Oh, man.
Like, that'd be awesome if he had the Crypt Keeper and, like, the old witch. And I just found out about the Vault Keeper or Master or whatever, and that seems like...
Yeah, it's the Vault Keeper.
Why are there two keepers?
Because there was Crypt of Terror and Vault of Horror. Okay. Those were the two EC horror titles that those two came from. And then the Old Witch's Tale, the Old Witch would show up with some tales in the various EC titles as well. So those were the three big names from your EC horror comics.
What I was told was that the Crypt Keeper could not keep a vault. That's what I was told. That was my explanation the other day when I found out that there was a Vault Keeper.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, well, that seems a little bit, you know, suspicious.
No, it's like, a completely different skill set.
Just because his name is Crypt Keeper doesn't mean that he can't keep a vault.
But a crypt and a vault. Doors. There's a lot. I don't know. I mean, maybe if the Crypt Keeper cross-trained.
Okay, so, like, does the Vault of Horror, like, just contain shit that you would find in a vault? Like, here's a story about money, and here's a story about paintings.
Probably so, yeah.
Maybe I'll have to check this out, but I think that they should give the Crypt Keeper a break. That dude needs to work two jobs. He's got a lot going on.
I think the Crypt Keeper is well set up. He had a TV show. He's had a couple of movies.
A couple of TV
shows. Do you think, circling back to our initial sort of ideas about whether or not we would be good at being rich, is the Crypt Keeper rich?
I think the Crypt Keeper, if he's anything, like, you remember in the 90s when there was that book called, like, The Millionaire Next Door?
You think that book was about the Crypt Keeper?
I think so. It's just, like, you would never know that this man in a disheveled tuxedo who hasn't gotten, a haircut in, like, 60 years and who has a very, very weird job, you would never know that he is, in fact, a millionaire.
My new goal then... Yeah, no, I know without question the Crypt Keeper's rich. Mm. He's TV show, movies, comic book, Christmas album. He's loaded. So I want Crypt Keeper money. That's my goal.
Crypt Keeper money? That sounds pretty good. I don't think that that's enough for me to remain rich. Like, I would spend...
It is for me.
Money. It is for you? Yeah, well, you're a lot better with personal life choices than I am, so...
No, the Crypt Keeper money is enough for you. His TV show was critically acclaimed, on the air for a while, still selling DVD box sets. His movies, that's people true. Still watch them. They're still on streaming services. I'm not sure if his Christmas record is available on the streaming platforms, but it should be.
It's probably expensive on Discogs.
Yeah, so that's an untapped source of revenue.
Mm.
Really? I mean, if he hasn't monetized that Christmas album yet, that's something in his back pocket. He doesn't even need to go after the Christmas album money because he's got the movie and TV show money. The comic book money is probably like Jay Leno's Tonight Show money. He just keeps that in a vault kept by the Vault Keeper. So here's what's emerging is that the Crypt Keeper is the Vault Keeper's boss. And the Vault Keeper is responsible not just for keeping the horror that's in the vault, but also the Crypt Keeper's vast fortune.
That's good. I thank you for that explanation. I think that about solves that for me. And I think that you're right. Crypt Keeper money is what we should be aspiring to. So it makes sense that we would want Casper Mattresses, owned by ghosts, as our primary sponsor. But we're willing to settle for Manscaped. Willing to settle.
And so how... as we wrap this up here, do these companies get in touch with us?
That's a great question. As we do not currently have an email address, but by the time this comes out, we will. And that email address will be sonicyouthhotdog@gmail.com.
All right. So please, if you or someone you know is a corporation with a budget for a couple of fledgling public speakers, orators, who are about to be the most famous people in town, get in touch, sonicyouthhotdog@gmail.com, and let us know the terms of your deal, and we'll get back in touch with you and let you know whether or not that's favorable. But the main thing is, we want Crypt Keeper money.
Your money.